Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Adam McManus also with me today as we come back to the good news and the bad news. The good news is that Jesus reigns. Death is conquered. The powers of darkness will not prevail because Jesus is over all things to the church. We have good news for homeschoolers on this program. Bad news for almost everybody else on this edition of the program, at least for now. It seems as that God is preserving freedoms for home educators, and it seems that tyranny is increasing across this country for just about everybody else these days. Freedom for Christian medical sharing, certainly. You know, it's interesting that it was Christian medical sharing that was exempted in the Obamacare Act some 10, 11 years ago. The Obamacare Act forced abortion funding on the insurance programs for just about everybody. There was the removal of the copay from all abortifacient coverage as well. So that was a huge increase in terms of the amount of insurance money and, of course, government subsidies that was going to compensate for abortifacients. And that came out of the Obama administration. And yet, the Christian medical sharing ministries were exempted. Christians did not have to participate in the insurance programs. Christians did not have to participate in those programs that were mandating abortifacient contraceptive funding. So, friends, we're in a good mood today that by God's grace, there's freedom for Christian medical sharing folks. There's freedom. There's the opportunity to opt out of a system that would pay for abortions and abortifacients. And remember, IUD usage has increased the number of kids aborted to 6 million a year, at least with the IUD. There's, of course, other forms of abortifacient contraceptive devices that kill kids as well. But just the IUD is killing about 6 million kids a year in America. And of course, there's the additional 1 million killed by surgical abortions and all the others. But thankfully, we have exempted ourselves by the use of Christian medical sharing ministries.
But it's not just abortion that Christian medical sharing is exempting people from. It's also paying for transgender surgeries or transgender counseling and all of that.
Good point. Good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure we can make a long list. And the other benefit to it is that I think in the amount of time we spent with Samaritan Ministries, that would be for, I'd say, about 20 years, we have seen a savings of upwards of $400,000 in insurance premiums. As a family of seven, we have saved something like $400,000. We pay a third to one quarter of what folks are forced to pay through the Obamacare requirements and the insurance programs that are offered as part of the Obamacare requirements. And so I'm thankful that we've exempted ourselves from, you know, paying for abortions, paying for abortifacients, transgender surgeries and all the rest. And we're paying a third to a quarter of what everybody else is paying. And our family has saved something like $400,000 in premiums, insurance premiums, the average insurance premiums we would pay if we were buying regular insurance and submitting to the Obamacare requirements. So, friends, we have been exempted. We have been exempted. We have been exempted. Praise God. We are on the island of freedom. We've been calling this the island of freedom for about 25 years since I wrote the second Mayflower back in the 1990s. God has protected the islands of freedom in this country for 30 years now, and we couldn't be more happy.
The McManus family is also a proud part of the Samaritan Ministries, and we love being able to send the check along with either a Get Well card if someone is sick or a congratulations on the upcoming birth of your new baby card. I love the personal touch of it as well.
Island of Freedom, friends, has been amazing in terms of opting out of the mandated homosexual training classes in public schools by the homeschool protections we've received over some 35 to 40 years of legal battles, court battles, etc., waged and won over home education over all these years. Freedom for Christian medical sharing. Also freedom for small businesses who only hire family members and rely on short-term contract labor. Sadly, those who hire others will be subjected to hiring homosexuals and transgenders. They will have to deal with the promotion of transgenderism in their ministries and their businesses in the years to come. So there's still something of some freedom for small businesses who only hire family members and rely on short-term contract labor. Be tyranny for almost everybody else, thanks to the Supreme Court's decision this last week. And we have, of course, freedom for homeschoolers who exempt themselves from immunizations. We'll talk about that a little more next on the Generations Broadcast. Hello, dads. Come this August, it'll be about time to get out of the house and up into the clear mountain air of the Colorado Rockies with your sons. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together, and what would be better than to spend the time in the Word in the mountains, along with some good fellowship with a couple of hundred brothers in Christ from around the country. Guys, let's get our sons out of the house and back into God's grand creation. We'll turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships. And fill up your tank with some faith talks, encouragement for the battle, and a refocus on the centrality of God. This year, we're bringing Mike Snavely back, our best creationist speaker for fathers and sons. Bill Roach and yours truly also bringing some talks. Come on down to our annual Colorado Father-Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 27th to the 30th. The price is only $229 for dads and $139 for sons right now. That includes all meals and board. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure, including a rifle shooting range, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball court, world-class recreation center, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. For more information, check out ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Praise God. We are thankful today that the Lord has preserved our islands of freedom. And I wrote the book, The Second Mayflower, back in the 1990s. It was my first published book before Upgrade. I wrote The Second Mayflower. And it was in the 1990s that I suggested that an island of freedom might form. And that island is doing well. By God's grace, He has enabled us to exempt ourselves from the tyranny that has been imposed, the regulations imposed on education, regulations imposed on healthcare, the regulations imposed on immunizations, and on and on and on. We've seen a massive increase in the regulating of family freedoms, parental freedoms, medical freedom, and such over, say, 25 to 30 years. But there have been these attempts to maintain something of an island of freedom, and by the grace of God, we have extended the island of freedom through the years. And it turns out that those who have checked their children into public schools have lost almost every major district court and Supreme Court decision when it comes to parental rights. If children have been attending public schools, they have less and less options to salvage their children away from sexual training, homosexualization and transgenderism and such. They have not been able to exempt themselves from the restrictions placed upon and the regulations placed upon the education of children since the 1980s. Almost every single Supreme Court case in which parents have taken issue and tried to exempt themselves from the regulations imposed on them in the public schools, they have lost those cases. But on the other side, those who have checked their kids out of the public schools have preserved those freedoms over and over again. I can't count the number of times we have been down at the local Capitol, and we don't necessarily live in a red state. We live in a increasingly bluing state. But by God's grace, we have seen exemptions provided for families who don't particularly want to submit themselves to a highly restrictive compulsory attendance law. In fact, there have been multiple times in which the compulsory attendance law was cranked down on by the local legislative body. And yet homeschoolers were exempted every time, as far as I can remember. Also, immunizations. Homeschoolers have been exempted a number of times from an increased control over immunizations in the state. And the last exemption that was provided was just this last weekend, praise God. So it's just 3-4 days ago when the legislature voted to exempt homeschoolers in the draconian regulations that were being imposed on those who wanted to exempt themselves from immunizations. And I'm thankful for that, because I've got a lot of reasons why there needs to be a fair amount of freedom allowed for families, especially for families that don't particularly want to use immunizations that have been developed out of aborted fetuses. That is one of the most significant problematic elements of immunizations. Of course, there are others as well. And I realize there are quite a bit of controversy over immunizations. But at the very least, we want to be sure that Christians can exempt themselves from the use of these immunizations. And that indeed was provided to homeschoolers. Now,
it's not just the issue of whether or not they have to do it. The issue is whether they're going to go into a database. There are some, certainly.
That's right. That was the major issue.
Yeah, there's certainly some Christian homeschoolers who think immunizations are okay, or selective ones are okay, that don't use aborted fetuses, for example, but they might be okay with others that do not use those. The issue for them is the state's ability to track the fact that their child has had X, Y, or Z immunizations, or has opted out of A, B, or C immunizations. And there is this big database, which is a privacy concern.
Mm-hmm. Right. There was the concern that in this legislation that the Department of Health was going to establish a database, and they already established the database. It was just they were going to incorporate everybody into it. They were going to mandate that all submit themselves to the database, and then they would have records as to those who were immunized and those who were not immunized. And yeah, there are some Christians and some conservatives who did not want to be put on the list. And of course, if they were on the list, there'd be the potential of the government later on down the line imposing a mandated immunizations on those who had not yet been immunized. And so thankfully, it was homeschoolers that were exempted from having to incorporate themselves into the list. And that was significant, another significant win. Now, there are some who would say, now, wait a minute. Why would you make such a big deal out of this particular encroachment upon parental rights? In other words, they would say, now, this is a fairly minor issue, don't you think? And yet the same question would have been posed to our Pilgrim forefathers, wouldn't it? Our Pilgrim forefathers made a big deal out of whether or not the pastors would wear a certain garment in the worship service, or whether there would be a certain form of candle presentation in the worship services in the Puritan or the Separatist services in the 1600s. And for these reasons, the Puritans and the Pilgrims came to America. In other words, some of them went to their death. Believe it or not, there were at least 3 to 4 Pilgrim forefathers that were executed because they did not submit to the regulations relating to the worship service and the government of the church in the 1580s and 1590s. So, and literally, people went to their death over the right for the church not to submit themselves to the regulations of the state. Now, I'm sure back then there would have been some saying, now, wait a minute, why are you making such a big deal out of this? I mean, just put the stinking garment on. Use the candles in the worship service. Submit to the civil magistrate when it comes to the control of the church, the sphere of church. Well, it was the principle of the matter that brought the Pilgrim forefathers, the Puritan forefathers, to this country. They did not want the church to be submitted to the jurisdiction of the state. And yes, they went to the mat on issues like candles in the service and wearing a certain surplice or wearing a certain garment in the officiation of the pastorate during the worship services. So, friends, the same issue is happening today. We're fighting over parental rights. the imposition of the state over the jurisdiction of the family. Indeed, the power of the state, the growing state, to regulate every single aspect of your family life, the immunizations of your kids, the health care of your children, the education of your children, the diet your children use, the state will attempt at every point to control every aspect of the family jurisdiction. And it is, for the most part, the homeschoolers that are pushing back on this full court press to control parental freedoms and family rights.
Colorado Public Radio notes that Senate Bill 163, which is what we're talking about here, had a goal of reaching a 95% immunization rate. Colorado apparently is the lowest in the country at 87% for kindergartners vaccinated for measles, mumps, and rubella. I think it's also interesting to learn that the bill, Senate Bill 163, before it was amended, passed out of the House Health and Insurance Committee by a 7-4 party line vote. So there definitely seems to be a political divide on the issue of the freedom of parents to discern whether or not immunizations are right for their children, and if so, which ones. I do note that in the Denver CBS affiliate piece, they say that for those not exempted, parents who choose not to vaccinate their children under this bill first will either have to present an exemption form signed by a valid medical provider. You were talking about the draconian reach into the lives of those outside of the homeschool world. Or number two, they have to submit a confirmation form stating they took an online class about vaccinations before their child starts school. Both of these are irrelevant to the homeschooler who is exempt overall and doesn't have to abide by them.
Big Brother is alive and well in Colorado, most states around America, and we're certainly seeing a massive increase in government interference and involvement in our lives. And yet, it seems to me that as we step out and we fight hard for freedom, as we as parents are willing to embrace our responsibilities and take upon ourselves the obligation to steward our children, to raise our children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as we've been commanded to do so, as we realize our responsibility, God gives us the freedoms, the liberties to continue on with this obligation instead of just blindly turning our kids over to the public schools, blindly turning our children over to being raised by the secular state. There are still homeschoolers that are willing to work hard and to fight tooth and nail for their freedoms and liberties in this state. You know, this is not an easy state. We were outnumbered. This was a knockdown dragout. You can't believe how outnumbered we were, Adam, with this particular battle this year. We were dealing with, you know, a blue House, a blue Senate, a blue gubernatorial governorship. We were dealing with the worst government we've ever had in the history of this state. And yet, you know, last Friday, I went down to the Capitol with Steve, our executive director. There were four or five homeschooling moms down there with us. My wife was there, too. We prayed to God. We prayed to the God over the whole universe, and we just prayed a humble prayer. You know, we just said, God, you know, we're just totally outnumbered, but you are over all kings and princes and government bureaucrats. God, you are over all of this universe. You're 100 billion times more powerful than these people in this scrawny little building here in Denver, Colorado. And God, we're just asking you to exempt us. We're just asking, Lord, that you'd fight for us. We're not going to win this thing without you. And so, God, we're asking you to step in for us and provide us an exemption as homeschoolers. Well, it turns out, you know, God did. He answered our prayers. Amazing.
And we documented that at the Worldview. I mean, it's an exciting newscast to be able to cover that part of the story. I do want to mention that Homeschool Legal Defense Association says there is a gray area for Colorado homeschooling families nonetheless. If a homeschool family physically attends a public or private school for a portion of the day to take some class or some athletic competition or whatever it is, the school may require compliance with the new immunization exemption and reporting requirements. It's not mandated, but they may. HSLDA is quick to say if anyone receives a request for records, that they should immediately contact Homeschool Legal Defense Association for assistance, and they will help them navigate that.
Well, and the reason for that, if you reach out for the government bennies, if you're going to go back into the system, if you're going to rely on any government funding for your sports programs, for your academic programs, et cetera, what the government funds, the government controls.
Yes.
So we're allowed a certain latitude only because we have voluntarily embraced the responsibility and the funding of our own children's education. And to the extent that you won't do that, to the extent that you turn that over to the state, our Lord Jesus Christ also presented that when he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. If Caesar has already acquired control over some aspect of your life, if you have surrendered that area of life to Caesar, then Caesar may have the obligation to decide what happens in every other aspect of your children's raising. So, yeah, what the government funds, the government controls. And so there's something of a risk for families that dip their toe back into the public funds and the public welfare programs to get a little bit more of the government bennies for their children's education. So what we recommend is that, you know, families just embrace the responsibility and the funding of their children's raising and then enjoy the liberties and the freedoms that God provides that comes with that.
Go cold turkey.
And here, before we're done, I do want to address this vaccination issue one more time. I think we talked about this maybe 5 or 10 years ago on this program, but people need to understand that, hey, we're seeking freedom. We want freedom. We want an island of freedom because we don't want to pay for abortions, abortifacients, and we have that with the Christian Medical Sharing Ministries. And check out Christian Medical Sharing Ministry at SamaritanMinistries.org for more information on exempting yourself from paying for abortions and abortifacients. If you want exemption, if you want freedom, if you don't want all of these 1,000 pages of government regulations on your insurance program, and you want to be a part of a Christian program that defends the lives of babies, I encourage you to go to SamaritanMinistries.org and sign up today. But friends, thank God we have an island of freedom from Obamacare. We don't have to pay for abortions and abortifacients, and thank God we can exempt our children from the homosexual indoctrination programs, the humanist, materialistic, wrong worldview perspective taught in public schools, because homeschooling is free, is at least accessible. At least we have some liberty to homeschool in all 50 states in this country, and we have, at least in the state of Colorado, an exemption from immunizations and the use of immunizations that use aborted fetuses. This from the Bioethics Research Library. You can find this online easily at the Bioethics Research Library. Some of the vaccines indeed currently used to prevent diseases such as rubella, measles, rabies, hepatitis A, chickenpox, or smallpox are produced using tissues from human abortions. The most widely used fetal cells are WI-38 and MRC-5. Other cells derived from surgically aborted fetuses are WI-1, WI-3, WI-11, WI-16, WI-18, WI-19, WI-23, WI-24, WI-25, WI-26, WI-27, WI-44, MRC-9, IMR-90, and R-17. Now, friends, that's important. I think it's important to know that. Listen, I'm not creating clones to supply me with organs to keep my dying carcass alive, as in the Island movie. Okay, the Island movie came out, 15 years ago, whatever it was. Remember where they would develop these clones and keep the clones for rich people who wanted to use their organs to keep the carcasses alive for these rich people, you know. And I wouldn't do that. I'm just telling people, don't do that. Okay. If you've got the possibility of creating a clone for yourself to supply you with organs to keep your carcass alive for another 5 years before you go to the judgment seat and meet your your judge, the Lord Jesus, at the end of time. Don't do that. Okay. We're not creating clones to supply ourselves with organs to keep our carcasses alive. And let's not use aborted baby fetuses for our immunizations either. I think that's a principle we need to go with here as Christians. Isn't it time to stand up on issues like this?
Are there immunizations that do not use aborted tissue from babies?
There are.
And what are they?
There are. But you got to check them out, and you need to ask the question. I think it's better to ask the question, do you use WI-38? Do you use MRC-5? WI-38 was developed for the lung tissue of a Swedish baby girl, 3 months gestation. The parents felt they had too many children. The tiny organs were packed on ice and flown to the Wistar Institute in Philadelphia, where they were dissected and used to culture RA-273 for rubella and the MMR vaccines. The MRC-5 was developed from the lung tissue of a 14-year-old gestation male baby in the UK. The story of the rubella vaccine is even more grim. It involved not one, but 27 abortions. 27 to isolate the virus, and then it was cultured in a WI-38. It's taken from the lungs of a 3-month gestation aborted baby. So Stanley Plotkin, a vaccine developer, would later reveal that 40 more babies were aborted after RA-273. Thus, 67 separate abortions were involved in the research and final production of the present-day rubella vaccine. So these are things, these are articles that are on reputable websites. You can go to those reputable websites right now. Let me give you the website location. It's a Bioethics Research Library. Just do a search for it. You'll get it right away. The Bioethics Research Library. They've got the whole scoop on the vaccines that use aborted fetuses to create the lines. Well, friends, the good news is that you can exempt yourself from these vaccines. At least in the state of Colorado. I know you can do it in other states as well. I just give you the state of Colorado as an example. But there is an island of freedom that's provided. Why? Because Jesus is over all of this. And Jesus is over his church. And he provides his church some breathing room, some freedom, what we call islands of freedom. By the grace of God, we have freedoms. And we can take advantage of these islands of freedom. Now, some will say, yeah, but we would love to have freedom for the rest of the population. Yes, we would. But let's at least take advantage of the islands of freedom available to us. Now, it turns out that not very many people want freedom, and that's why the curtailing of liberty across this country. And we understand that people don't want freedom. People don't like liberty much anymore, certainly not liberty that is defined biblically. So we're encouraging Christians to seek out freedom. There is a value to freedom. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you can be free, use it rather. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. That's a principle to go with. And I encourage you to take advantage of the islands of freedom available in education, in healthcare, immunizations, and so forth. We've talked about these islands on this edition of the program. For more of a development of this concept of the islands of freedom and our obligation as Christians to take full advantage of the islands of freedom, get a copy of our book, The Story of Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. The Story of Freedom is a book I recommend for your family, for your kids, for your grandkids. It is available for a high school level course. It's got a study guide that goes with it. But The Story of Freedom, an exciting story, but a story that outlines the battle for freedom over 800 years and the next segment of this battle that is being waged right now in legislatures and courtrooms across this country. If you want to know the story of freedom and the battle of freedom that wages even now, get a copy of the book at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.